America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Christian Osero, joined by my guy, Jay Binkley. It is June already. We are less than 100 days away from the start of the NFL season. We are a little bit under 3 months away from the start of the college football season. And, you know, it seems like it's a ways away now, but the summer's going to fly by real quick, unfortunately, and then we are going to be in football season really quickly.
I went to, I actually went out this past weekend. I make an annual tradition to go out to Barnes & Noble and pick up whatever.
Oh, you picked up your guide? You picked up your media guide?
Well, I mean, the thing is that I know that a lot of the stuff's available online. I get that, but there's nothing like having that magazine and you're thumbing through it, man. I've just done it for 30 years. You go out and get Street & Smith's or Lindy's or Phil Steele or whatever. But I always do it in June. And then I was driving the other day and I was like, dude, it's almost June, man. I bet there's I was like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, I bet these are already out. So I was like, boom, I went in, got my preseason mags. And I'll be honest with you, man, the price of these things is getting stupid.
How much is it?
It was $13 or something.
Oh, dude, that's cheap, man.
I know, but he's talking about $5.99 for these things, man. $13.
$13 is very cheap for a big ass book like that.
It's a lot of work. I usually don't mind to pay that for Phil Steele or something, or if they send me one free or something because he's coming on the show. But I haven't had him on for years, so. But
I think that's a great value, man. I actually might do the same thing. I might pick up one of those guides, too.
Just with 134 teams, man. Just give them to me right there. Right, I know I could look at my phone.
You could, but at least you got it right there.
I can thumb through the magazine. I just like stuff like that. We'll see what happens.
I might do the same thing.
It's great for the draft, too, by the way.
Yeah. Right now, we're in the midst of the summer. I'm going to take the summer here to kind of compile my list of players to watch at different positions going into college football season once we get to August. By the way, we will, right around start of Chiefs training camp, we're going to really start ramping it back up, doing weekly here on the podcast. And then after that, we're going to start previewing some of these college position groups, guys to look out for. Dane Brugler is going to put out his freaks list probably in 2.5 months or so. And we'll have a lot of guys you can watch out for there. But we also got to figure out what positions are the Chiefs going to be looking at come 2025. So we're kind of forecasting those positions and tell you which groups to watch out for. But, you know, I think, you know, now is really kind of an interesting time to kind of do the research and start looking up some of these names and where they are, because these rosters are getting solidified right now.
I think it's pretty much house money they're playing with at this point. What receiver, tight end, I'd still do that. I'd still look at that. I know they brought in Wiley last year, but I still think wide receiver, obviously.
I think either of those positions makes
sense. Hollywood Brown, I get it. Guard, Tooney, you know, because Hunter Norzad, you want him to be a swing guy, like an Allegretti type guy. I can see him. Hopefully, tackle solidified.
Hopefully
that guy, good, or Wanye. You have Wanye too. So, defensive line, I think, is an issue because I don't think they bring everybody back like they did.
Defensive tackle for sure is going to be a position to look out for. DB will probably, you know, corner will probably be a position to look out for. But yeah, we'll do a deeper dive in that once we get to training camp, once we get to the preview for the season.
I'm looking forward to these games, man. Me too. Schedule's starting to be released.
Oh, yeah.
Now, they usually do it 2 weeks out, but the SEC is going to do everybody at once.
Right.
Which is fine, but I know for travel purposes or whatever, I still don't mind those 2 weeks, though, because then you get that prime time and prime time game. So I'm good with that. But we got, like, Oregon and Ohio State this year, and we got Emmanuel Igbuka playing. We'll see what he can do this year. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. Some of these guys that we scouted and watched a lot of games for last season did not go into the draft, so some of those guys are going to be at the very top of next year's draft class. Yeah, so it'll be exciting.
Buka's one of them.
Yeah, yeah. Buka's going to be one of those guys. And Tui Maloau, the edge rusher from Ohio State, is going to be another one. Riley Leonard, Quinn Ewers, guys like that we've talked about extensively.
That's
already.
The other thing with the magazine, finding out where the hell these guys are.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Like Trey Harris so at Ole Miss. He was at Ole Miss last year, but he was at Law Tech before that. Isaiah Bond transfers from Alabama to Texas to take over A.D. Mitchell's role or Xavier Will. I mean, it's just guys all over. Hands, man.
It's pretty crazy now. There's a lot of tracking you have to do between the almost 140 so
DJ Ugalele FBS. Now Florida State.
Yeah, oh, he's at Florida State now.
Ugalele
is Florida State.
I think so. I think
he's like his fourth team in his career.
He's been at Oregon State. He's been
a journeyman quarterback for sure. So yeah, we'll definitely get you up on that once we get. Once we do the research and get all these names compiled together for players to watch out for, but. We want to preview you for Chiefs mandatory minicamp, which will be taking place here in about a week and a half. It is going to be the last mandatory event that the Chiefs have on their offseason schedule before they report for training camp. I don't know if we have official dates for training camp yet or not.
We don't. We don't have the official. We have the last round of voluntary camp this week, starting the fourth to the seventh,
right?
I believe for the last round. Then, of course, it's the mandatory mini camp after that. But they have not released it. Now the Chiefs will be, you know, a week early.
They'll be a week early because they're playing the first game of the regular season, so they'll be in there early. Also, the teams playing in the Hall of Fame game, they will also be reporting early as well. But after that, so it'll probably be, I think last year was the 23rd when rookies reported in July 23rd. So I would assume it's probably right around that range. So a month and a half or so until they report for training camp. But we'll make sure we got a preview for you coming out before the Chiefs report for training camp. But as we get into this mandatory mini camp storylines to look out for, I think the first one we got to talk about is the wide receiver room, and how does it shake out? We obviously know Rashi Rice going to be missing some games more than likely. I think we're kind of looking at, I don't know if you agree, 6 to 8 is probably the range we're looking at. Some people think it might be 4 or less, but I think when you kind of factor in the whole Henry Ruggs situation, the NFL's probably going to be pretty stern with him.
Did you see what he's doing?
No, what is he doing now?
He's like working at the Nevada governor's mansion.
Why?
This is what it came out to. He's like doing stuff there at the mansion. I don't know what all he's doing, but that's his deal. Is wait,
huh? That's
weird. He's out in what, 13 months, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. He got a little time there, but yeah, like I think after the Henry Ruggs situation, I think the league is like, okay, we got to crack down on this, so let's be a little heavy handed there. So yeah, I kind of feel like Rashi Rice probably misses a good chunk of the season there, especially like if you remember, like Charles Omenihu got 6 games last year.
He did, and of course you're going to wait for him coming back from ACL.
Right, so it's like if the league is doing that with someone with the situation Omenihu was in, like let's not be shocked if you know someone who could have potentially killed someone racing out there on the highway ends up in the situation where he misses almost half the season.
Yeah, by the way, here's the story from Vegas. Ex-Las Vegas Raiders Henry Ruggs working in Nevada governor's mansion while serving prison sentence. That's not a bad deal for Henry.
I guess not. I mean, hopefully, you know, when his sentence is done, he kind of figures his life out. And you know, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if a team tried to give him another chance or something, or maybe he goes and plays in the UFL for a year. But like, you know, hopefully turns his life around because that was a That could have been Rashi Rice in that situation. So I think the league is going to crack down on that. So you kind of look at that situation there. You got Hollywood, and Hollywood's been known to get hurt. You got Xavier Worthy, who's
stayed games last 2 years.
Right. You know, you got Xavier Worthy, who's rookie, coming in, tough offense to learn, plus he's a little light.
He's had that hamstring issues, too.
Yeah, the hamstring issue, yeah. So, like, now you look at the receiving room, I think one of the big questions is going to be talked about at camp. How does Worthy look if his hamstring allows him to go in practice, which I think they're kind of leaning towards he'll be all right for mandatory, but you never know.
It's being cautious.
They last for a while.
Because they need him to be 100% healthy. And yeah. I both talked about the pressure we can see on Xavier Worthy and
right.
You know, going forward. It depends on Rashi Rice. You know, the Pro Football Focus that he's Rashi Rice can be the X factor, which we can look at that.
I think
some people
are
speculating the suspension, if this drags out the legal system, could be 2025.
Possibly, yeah.
I think the NFL is going to wait until the final judgment before they issue their penalty.
Maybe. I mean, sometimes they do that, sometimes they don't. I mean, we did see that with, like, the Frank Clark situation where they did wait a year. And, you know, what was it, 21 that he missed games? Because it happened before 20, right? And there was 21 that he ended up missing games. So it's very possible that, yeah, Rashi ends up not being suspended until the 25 season. But also, I believe Rashi did admit to doing it. That might be a situation where the league just decides to punish him now because there isn't that legal situation playing out like that.
Yeah, it's not like one of these situations where the player denies it, denies it ever happened.
And they work on a deal or something.
He said, I did it. So,
yeah, so I think that might be a situation where it happens this year. But then you also got to look at the other situation with Kadarius Toney with Sky Moore. And how do those guys pan out? Those would be two names. A lot of people ain't going to be talking about them because they've kind of been usurped on the roster by other receivers.
He's not been in voluntary minicamp either, Kadarius Toney. You would think
he'd be.
It'd be a priority.
Yeah, you think it'd be a priority.
You think he's Lamar Jackson skipping the Baltimore Ravens voluntary minicamp? You think he's Lamar? No.
Right. No, like, I think that's a big question. Is like, because we know Sky Moore was at Camp Pat. Kadarius was down there too, right?
He was, yeah.
So it's like, the question is, are those two going to give you anything this year? I think that's going to be something to look out for, is reports on how those guys do in camp, because, you know, those guys, they were thought of very highly by the Chiefs going into last season, and they gave us nothing good, all bad. So I think that's going to be a big storyline there, is what do those guys do in camp?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Yeah. As far as rookies, I mean, everybody's been debating on who's going to be the most influential rookie. Jaden Hicks, we'll get to him in a minute, but obviously he's getting a lot of run. I still think Xavier Worthy. I
I do too. I'm
still putting him. Jaden Hicks, yes, but they're loaded at safety. Shamari Connor, Brian Cook, Covey, everybody else, but Xavier Worthy, so important for this offense.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think he's going to have a Tyreek Hill like a 2016 yeah. Tyreek Hill like season. I think he's going to be the gadget guy that gets put all over. He's going to line up in the backfield. He'll line up wide. He'll line up in the slot. They'll do a lot of motion with him, and they'll find ways to get him involved in the offense by scripting touches for him.
And then the report came out today that New England had called Buffalo too.
They called Buffalo about trading up.
They want Xavier Worthy.
Yeah.
Thought talk was Mike Lombardi brought it up that they want Xavier Worthy. Bills had a decision to make.
Yeah.
Do you go with the Chiefs or do you go with New England?
They probably got a better offer from the Chiefs.
I mean, that's like kissing your sister, your cousin, man. I mean, it's both their nemesis. I remember when Brady was there, he beat him 32 or 35 times.
Right, but Brady hasn't been there in years.
But it's the same division, though.
To me, it's worse. It's like, worse with poison. The Chiefs. It's worse with the Chiefs.
I think so, too. I wouldn't have done it. That's the biggest head scratcher.
Like, doing the trade with the Dolphins is like ingesting poison to give, not Dolphins, but the Patriots, is like ingesting poison
sure
that gives
was
you
a
diarrhea.
Worse situation for Buffalo. It's like, oh my God, we had New England on the phone in Kansas City. Do we go with a team that we're going to face twice a year?
Yeah.
Or we go with a team we may play?
It's like choosing between diarrhea and like dying. I mean, you know, I think you probably still take the diarrhea.
Yeah, but they end up with Keon Coleman, so we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. Another big, and this will probably be the biggest camp battle that'll be talked about, is the Wanya Morris, Kingsley Suamataia battle there at left tackle.
That's number one to me.
I think that's going to be reported about every single day. Like Pete from Area Pride, Pete Sweeney is going to be doing a lot of reporting on that. A lot of people are going to ask him about that. All the people from the local news stations are going to be asked about that. The Star writer is going to be asked about that. I think Nate Taylor is going to get a lot too when he comes on the station. People do Q&A with him. That's going to be the biggest competition in mandatory and in training camp.
I think the biggest storyline is Rashee Rice's suspension.
Yeah.
If there is going to be one.
Yeah, I'm just talking about like battles.
But as far as battles, yes, it's right there. It's the left tackle. Wanya Morris has the upper hand. Of course, draft pick from last season. He's got the upper hand. Kingsley's a guy that I think they really want to have that job.
I think so, too.
I think they like Wanya, too. And I can see Wanya going to right tackle when Juwan Taylor's contract's done, to be honest with you.
So here's the interesting thing to me about the whole competition. I agree with you. I really do feel like just the way that the Chiefs have talked about that battle, I think they really want Kingsley Suamataia to win it.
Yeah, agree.
I think they really want Suamataia to win that battle. I think they really like him. I think they want to. I think Andy wants to use that athleticism that we talked about a lot when they drafted him. I think they want to use that athleticism in the run game, in the screen game.
Just be solidified at tackle.
Yeah,
you don't want to worry about that for a long time. At worst, I could see it happen 4 to 5 weeks in the season.
Yeah,
but I think they want to start the season.
I think
it's what they did when Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey and those guys got here. I mean, they were put as starters on day one. Like, that was the one thing we wanted to see, you know, out of camp, who the Chiefs are going to have on that first line. That makes a difference. That makes a huge difference who they trot out there in their first line. I mean, it sounds insignificant, but
it mattered. I mean, we knew Wanya Morris was going to get time at left tackle when they put him as the left tackle on the second team in training camp last year.
Yep.
We knew it right there. I was like, okay, they clearly think Wanya has some chops at left tackle, because that was a position that he did not play in his last year at Oklahoma, but they moved him over there. So it's like, okay, they think he might have something. So yeah, I agree with you. I do think, like, where these guys line up, if you're starting first team, that matters. Especially, it might not matter for most teams. There's a lot of teams out there they'll mix guys up just to see what they are. But the Chiefs, if they line you up and give you first team reps, they think something of it.
They're gonna keep you there.
Yeah.
Until proven otherwise.
Another interesting question in regards to Charles Omenihu, who you brought up earlier. I'm really interested to see what happens with FAU, with Felix Onyedike Uzomah, the first round pick for the Chiefs in 22, because actually in 23, because with Omenihu out, you kind of look at the depth on that line. Omenihu, probably he's your second best edge rusher,
mm-hmm.
unless you want to count Jones in that mark when he does occasionally rush on the edge. But just from like regular edge rusher, I would say that Omenihu's right there with Carl Loftus, probably right behind him. Then after him is probably FAU. It's probably
he got that red shirt, which is huge.
Yeah,
you know, you work with Tom Ballee and stuff like that he's done in the offseason. That stuff is big, but now they count on him. Mm-hmm. You can take that redshirt year, but now it's about performance. But the good news is he got the experience. He got to be with the team that won a championship. And not only that, he's remember when he went to K-State, he was undersized, he put on that weight. And all of a sudden, he becomes his last year defensive player of the year in the Big 12.
And he was productive even when he was working his way up.
He's kind of been a self-made guy. He's always like kind of overachieved. And to be the best player in that conference, you know, defensive player of the year in that conference is a pretty big deal. So if you learn from the guys, I mean, you got Chris Jones and stuff in your meeting rooms and stuff. You got him in here. You got all these people to learn from, especially Tom Bali and stuff like this with pass rush moves. So, yeah, it's going to be a big one. Like, I'm expecting good things from him in year two. It's going to be important because we've seen Sky Moore, and we had expectations for him in his second year, and he didn't exactly live up to them. Hopefully FAU does.
And it'll be, I think it'll be really important for him to produce because we don't know when Minshew's going to be back. No. Like, I know he posted something today on Twitter of him working out, and he looks like he's, you know, his recovery is coming along nicely, but we don't know what his recovery timeline is. We don't know when he's going to be back.
And
we
workout videos always kill me.
Exactly. Like, the workout video gives us a little bit more confidence that we probably should have about, especially coming back from
injury. It's like the videos team show from training camp or from OTAs.
Oh,
You're catching the ball against air.
Yeah, and then like people are like, oh, who's gonna stop?
Or you're making a catch at rookie minicamp with the rookies out there.
I think it was
not even make this team, not even sniff the USFL.
Yeah.
Or the UFL, UFL.
I remember when the Bills put
it's
out
the USFL division, by the way. The XFL
and USFL are conferences, yeah. They did do I think it was like right after when Keon Coleman first did like the rookie minicamp for the Bills. And then you had people like, who's gonna stop Keon Coleman? Which he didn't really look that great in the video anyways. But it's like, who's going to stop Keon Coleman? It's like, he hasn't even played it down yet. Like, let him earn time on the field first. But like,
Justin Jefferson just got a huge contract today.
He got massive.
We saw the Tre'Davious Snead completely shut him down until he got the hurt injury.
Yeah. Like
completely shut him down.
Yeah, he did not do anything in that game. But like, my thing is, like, I want Felix to come in and have that confidence, having played that redshirt year. And like in the little time we saw him, he looked good. It's just he didn't get a lot of playing time. I think what's going to be important is we see some growth from Felix in mandatory. And then when we get to training camp, he really is a guy we're buzzing about as, okay, he's got to get into the rotation. Because, again, we don't know when Minshew's going to come back. We don't know when he's going to be healthy. We don't even know when and if he's going to be at 100% because a lot of times it takes guys a little time to get comfortable and trust that knee again after you tear a ligament in it.
The best news is they're going to have him for the stretch, hopefully, the stretch run.
Exactly.
Because December becomes tough. That's when the Chiefs has those 3 games in 10 days or 11 days. And, of course, they go play outside in the cold, the rest of them. They're like in Pittsburgh and places like that, like non-warm places in the month of December.
And, you know, if they get home field, they're going to be playing at a non-warm place two games during the playoffs.
That was the coldest game in NFL history right here at Arrowhead.
Right. So I think
in a year that was really warm, to be honest with you. But yeah, not that night.
It was actually a really warm winter, but we had that terrible game there.
30 degrees below.
Yeah. So, like I said, I think Felix is going to be a big one person I think is really going to have to show out at mandatory. And if we hear good things about him, I think that'll be really encouraging for the defensive line going into the start of the season. One big question that I think we've talked about pretty extensively since the draft, what's the rotation going to look like for defensive backs? Because you look at the cornerback situation, which we'll get to in a little bit, but that one, there's going to be some question marks about it. But then the safeties. The Chiefs are – I have never seen an NFL roster this loaded with potential at safety.
So they don't need to bring anybody in. And if you believe in the deal that the Chiefs draft a year ahead of time, do you think about Reed being gone?
They do it
this
a
year?
Lot.
He's 28, but because that's going to be Jaden Hicks, who, by the way, Bleacher Report just came out today. One of the surprises steals the draft. We need that because Dane Brugler had him as top safety. Had him as
and
number 39. Daniel Jeremiah.
We literally talked about it day two the whole time.
But he's killing it. He's killing it. And everybody talks how big he is and what he's learning. But you got Shamari Connor coming back too. And Shamari Connor is a guy that could play the slot as well. But he could also get to the quarterback. Jaden Hicks gets to the quarterback. By the way, when I was with Kling last week, I was like, okay. Because that's going to be something people are thinking about, even going back to Combine. If you're a position player, can you kick? With the Chiefs kind of going away from Harrison for the kickoffs, the landing zone.
Yeah.
Like, it's important if you have a safety that can kick. I'm worried about him getting in the landing zone, though, because he's got to be accurate. Or the rugby player, LRZ, have him, you know, kick it off. I went back and looked at Jaden Hicks, like some of his draft profiles. His first sport, soccer. Like, he can kick. Like, Jaden Hicks can kick as well. So is this your Justin Reed? Like, you don't need him for field goals. You have that. You just need kickoff. I think this is going to be important when you go to the combine, these position players. Hey, can you kick? Because it's going to be important if you can kick in that landing zone. Because you don't want your kicker out there. What Dave Tobe said, 25 to 40% of the XFL kicks, when they went back and looked at these rules, the kicker was involved in the tackle. Like, it's the last thing you want is your kicker getting hurt, you know, before you could have a game-winning field goal. Because a lot of these games come down on 3 points.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why, like, the signing of Lewis Riis-Zamet was so important for them. Because because they do a lot of kicking in rugby, and you kick the ball down there, you go make a tackle or something if you need to, and I mean, it fits perfectly well. So
I just thought it was entering Jaden Hicks, soccer player, right?
Yeah, so I think, yeah, like Jaden Hicks could be – I just think for Jaden, and I've said this to a lot of people. We've obviously said this before on the podcast. I look at Jaden Hicks, and I immediately think Willie Gay. Like, Willie Gay replacement as far as his role in the defense last year as a blitzer, as a run stopper,
coverage guy,
a coverage guy who can be the spy against the running quarterbacks. Like, Jaden Hicks is he's not quite as big as Willie was. You know, Willie's like, what, 240, 250? He's about just over 220, but he's 6'3".
He's a linebacker. It's different than safety.
But, like, even then, Jaden still plays like a linebacker, and he's got good size for a safety. There's not a whole lot of safeties in the NFL that are 6'3", 225. Like, he's pretty massive for a safety. And I just look at the role that he can play. If he can show that he's a good run defender in the NFL and he can play the short pass coverage well, I think he's going to find a spot in the defense pretty early in the season, because I think there's value in the skill set that he has. Even though he's not specifically a linebacker, he's still someone that I think could eventually kind of take that role in a lot of those passing situations. I don't look at him this year as a deep safety. I look at him more as like a almost pseudo linebacker type situation. Kind of like what we saw for like Tyrann Mathieu when he played on the team, and then they drop like Dan Sorensen and Juan Thornhill back, and Tyrann would come up and play in the shorter range. I kind of think that's what they'll look at with Jaden. But like, I think Jaden can provide you a good skill set early on because of what we saw from him when he was in college. I think it's going to be really interesting them figuring out their rotation, because as you brought up, Shamari Conner, your favorite guy from the 23 draft.
He'll be part of it.
He's going to be part of it, and he really showed out during that playoff run when Brian Cook was out with that ankle injury. You look at that safety situation, and it's really exciting kind of looking at him and seeing what the Chiefs can
do
there. Here's what
Bleacher Report said when they looked at breakout player. By the way, A.D. Mitchell was on this list too, our guy.
Oh, yeah.
Said certain players look the part but don't play that way. Kansas City Chiefs fourth-round safety Jaden Hicks looks the part and is already making waves. I tell him that all the time. You know what? You are the prototype safety, Chiefs defensive back coach Dave Merritt told reporters. He is the body, the size, the mental to be able to be a really good football player in this league. 6'2", 211-pound defender has already caught the eye of Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes says he's a big dude, and he's going to get better and better. You can see it early. He has the physical ability. So that's one of their breakout players was your guy, Jaden Hicks.
Yeah. I think he could, like I said, I think he could get some playing time, good, crucial playing time early in the season.
I think he could lead the Chiefs in snaps. It depends on how many Xavier Woody plays.
Yeah, it could very well.
Or if Kingsley plays or not. I mean, obviously, right, if Kingsley starts, he's going to lead him in snaps.
Right, yeah. I think there's a good chance for that, too. But, yeah, I think Jaden Hicks, especially with the combination of special teams and defensive snaps, yeah, I think there's a good chance he's like top 5, top 10% of players as far as playing. Actually, probably not top 5%, because that's 53 now. But probably, like, I think he could be like the top 20% of players in terms of snaps. And then as far as the cornerback situation goes, like, that one's going to be really interesting, because there's two questions there. One, how do they use Trent McDuffie this year? Because Trent McDuffie is someone that really had a breakout season last year and really proved to be one of the elite corners in the league. Does he stay as a guy who mixes between outside and slot, or does he play exclusively outside? Or does he play exclusively inside, and then they have Jalen Watson, Joshua Williams play on the outside exclusively so that you can kind of mix things up? Do they have McDuffie shadow the same way that that Snead does? Or maybe one of these other guys will shadow. I think there's a lot of question marks about how they're going to use McDuffie this year and what's going to happen with Watson and Williams at corner. I think that's going to be a real, like how they use those guys in mandatory and in training camp, that's going to be really interesting.
And Kamal Haddon's coming in here as a ball hawk. He led Tennessee. He was drafted by the Chiefs, but is he ready on day one? No, I think it's going to take Kamal Haddon a little bit longer. But he's a ball hawk. He did lead in interceptions. He's just playing six games at Tennessee, and I know they really like him. 33rd team had Joshua Williams being a breakout, one of their four breakout stars. And if that happens, hey, the Chiefs see him every day. If Joshua Williams could be that guy, Jalen Watson, we're talking about a guy that has multiple picks. He has a pick six hell in his record. Remember a couple years
game
ago.
Game two against the Chargers.
And he had two interceptions in the postseason. So Jalen Watson, and I believe was a real star at one of the parades when he had
I think Jalen had to was he the one that had to get the IV because he got too drunk during the 23 parade? I think it was the 22 season. I think he got an IV drip because he got a little too drunk.
But
maybe I was wrong. Maybe
it's expected on him. And I don't think they're gonna miss Snead as bad as people think.
I don't either.
Snead could be at the end of the road.
Yeah, I don't think that they're going to miss him as much as people think. Just because, let's not forget, Jalen Watson and Joshua Williams came in 22 and solidified a position that was a big weakness for them the previous few years.
And with a couple of rings.
And now they've got a couple of rings in their first 2 years. And even though, they've both had some injury issues, Jalen Watson battled injuries the last couple of years. He played with a broken hand. What was it, torn rotator cuff this past season?
No.
Like, he's played with a lot of injuries in his career, and he still played well. He did kind of have some hiccups in training camp and got pushed down the roster a little bit, but worked his way back up. Joshua Williams has also been kind of up and down, but still good, solid corner. I'll be interested to see what happens this year as far as one or both of those guys really kind of solidifying their spot out there. Because I'll say this, I do think the Chiefs would love to have those guys as their outside corners, and then Trent mix around here a little bit, maybe shadow a guy and, play that slot in a good portion of the time because he's great at disguising. He's great at blitzing and he's got a good feel for where the ball's going. If Trent McDuffie can be that roamer, if he can be just a pure slot, that would be awesome.
Well, he's the leader. And as far as Joshua Williams, I mentioned the 33rd team was one of the breakout players.
Yeah.
They said no one expects Williams to be a one-for-one replacement for Snead, but there's a good chance Williams could be a quality cornerback right away. Look for Williams to get the first crack at starting in Snead's place.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a guy that you look at.
I kind of think Jalen will get it above Joshua, but I would not discount Joshua there either. I mean, look, they're huge. They're both huge corners. Jalen's 6'2", Joshua's 6'3". They're big bodied, both around 190, 200 pounds, good arm length. That was, I mean, when we did that day three coverage back in 22, when they drafted Joshua Williams and Jalen Watson, though we weren't on when Watson was picked in the seventh, we were on when Joshua Williams was taken in the fourth. And we both talked about how that kind of frame, that kind of body type, if they could figure out a way to get him acclimated to playing at that level, he'll give them a ton of value. And, I like the fact that you also brought up Kamal Haddon because Haddon has that similar body type too. And maybe he doesn't see prominent playing time this year. We'll see. I mean, there were actually some good things that came out of rookie minicamp about him.
He might have the FAU treatment this year. Maybe play a little bit more.
Right. I think he probably plays a little bit more. But, I wouldn't be shocked if they kind of let him sit back and learn a little bit because of the safeties that they have.
The Chiefs have gotten better at the pass rush. Matter of fact, it's their second and third best seasons the last 2 years. They went from 55 to 57, all right? Second in the league. And record is 60. So it works hand in hand. To me, that secondary works hand in hand with the pass rush. Chiefs have shown the ability to get to the quarterback. That's only made the corners better themselves.
Yeah. And so that is going to be really interesting because the Chiefs, I wouldn't be shocked if the Chiefs played four safeties at some point. Like, instead of, like, I wouldn't be shocked if they had, like, a combination of, like, maybe they have Jaden Hicks play, like, the mic in a dime situation, and then you've got your three corners, you got your two safeties playing deep in Reed and Cook, and then you probably have Shamari Connor playing in the slot, because we know Shamari Connor played a lot of slot when he was at Virginia Tech. He was a guy that was really good at blitzing when he was there. He was like one of their best blitzers, one of their best pass rushers, and one of their best guys at getting to the quarterback in general that year. And, I mean, we saw him in the run game. He was explosive there as far as getting hits there. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if he was playing the opposite slot corner there in those dime packages.
Of course, they lose that experience of Mike Edwards that played with Tampa. He's now with the Buffalo Bills. But right. I don't think I thought, okay, the Chiefs, there's enough journeyman safety out there. There still is. There's enough journeyman safeties out there, but they might not go that direction. I think they're like their in-house safeties.
Yeah, I think they're going to stick with their in-house guys because, look, the Chiefs have, and let's not forget, like, Nazi Johnson as
coming
well.
Coming back from that ACL.
Coming back from the ACL, and he was really impressing when he was in camp last year before he tore that ACL.
Playing the Super Bowl the year before.
Yeah, like, you know, and let's not also forget, like, you had Nick Jones, the corner that they drafted in the seventh round last year. There's a lot of unknowns, and I know it's, like, crazy when we talk about, like, a seventh-round corner, but, I mean, the Chiefs have already kind of hit on a seventh-round corner with Jalen Watson, so they can find some value there. There's a lot of unanswered questions there, and I really think the defensive back situation is going to be – there's so many ways that can play out just because of the amount of safeties they have, just because of the amount of corners that they have. There's a lot of different things that situation can play out. I think the last question I think we'll be asking is about Lewis Rees-Zammit, the player they got, the Welsh rugby player they got.
They're talking him up.
It looks like he's going to make the team.
Well,
just because of kickoffs.
Anyway, the actual real roster, he's already the number one returner.
Right.
They have. And Andy Reid would say, hey, man, he runs upright. You know, we'll see what happens when you get hit. That's the other thing.
Yeah, he's going to have to lower them damn shoulders.
You got to lower the shoulders. Yeah. He's got the physicality. We know that. Like, he's got that. Now, he will make the team because he'll make the practice squad regardless.
Right.
Unless someone puts him on their active roster. I don't see him doing that because they can keep 17 guys because he's in the international program.
I kind of feel like if he really shows some – I'll say this. I think he's going to get a good shot in the preseason to be the guy that's kicking off. If he shows an aptitude for that and is able to do a good job of kind of containing those returners and making sure they don't break past him, because he's probably going to be that last line of defense there on the kickoff coverage. If he can show an aptitude for that, he's going to make the team. He's going to be their designated kickoff guy. And I wouldn't put it past Andy Reid to find ways to get the ball to him in the offense.
No, he will. I'm just curious. Carson Wentz here. I think we've got to forget that he's here as well.
Yeah, I think it's a good – I think it's very plausible that most people have forgotten that Carson – I forgot Carson Wentz is on the roster until you just brought it up. I was thinking about that earlier. I was like, who's the backup quarterback for the Chiefs again?
And the fact that he led the NFL in short yardage runs before they did the tush push in Philly.
Yeah, I mean, they might actually bring back the quarterback sneak now with an actual quarterback. But, yeah, I think Lewis Rees-Zammit is I think the way that they were talking this past week, talking about the kickoff situation and whatnot, it sounds like he's going to make the team. And that's pretty crazy.
It changes everything, man, this new kickoff rule. So
yeah,
it's the perfect spot for him. Everybody likes it. You know,
yeah.
Justin Reed's going to be there. They don't want to use Harrison to kick off and that stuff. So it's going to be, you know, tough.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. But I kind of feel like, and maybe they start off letting Justin Reed do it just because he's got some experience kicking in game.
Mm-hmm.
But
you also don't want to get him hurt.
You don't want to get him hurt. And so I kind of feel like it might be smarter to give Rees-Zammit the opportunity. And if he shows out, I would not have thought this 2 months ago, but I think there's a real shot that Lewis Rees-Zammit makes this roster, makes the 53 just because of the kickoff situation.
I want to be
the person that
I get that.
Tempers expectations.
It's like Denarik Prince last year. Let's not forget, he was the number one returner in camp.
He looked great, and then he fell down.
Yeah, he fell down.
I 100%. And that's the reason why it's weird to me. I found it really weird the way they were talking about it. But we know how the Chiefs operate. The Chiefs are not very secretive about a lot of stuff, unless it's the draft. They're not very secretive about stuff. you know what the Chiefs are going to do based on their actions and based on how they talk about things in the vague way that they do.
James Hicks.
Yeah. I think he could, like I said, I think he could get some playing time, good, crucial playing time early in the season.
I think he could lead the Chiefs in snaps. It depends on how many Xavier Worthy plays.
Yeah, it could very well. I think,
or if Kingsley plays or not. I mean, obviously, right, if Kingsley starts, he's going to lead him in snaps.
Right, yeah. I think there's a good chance for that, too. But, yeah, I think Jaden Hicks, especially, you know, with the combination of special teams and defensive snaps, yeah, I think there's a good chance he's like top five, top 10% of players as far as playing. Actually, probably not top 5% because that's 53 now, but probably like I think he could be like at the top 20% of players in terms of snaps. And then as far as the cornerback situation goes, like that one's going to be really interesting because there's two questions there. One, how do they use Trent McDuffie this year? Because Trent McDuffie is someone that really had a breakout season last year and really proved to be one of the elite corners in the league. Does he stay as a guy who mixes between outside and slot, or does he play exclusively outside? Or does he play exclusively inside, and then they have Jalen Watson, Joshua Williams play on the outside exclusively so that you can kind of mix things up? Do they have McDuffie shadow the same way that Snead does? Or maybe one of these other guys will shadow. I think there's a lot of question marks about how they're going to use McDuffie this year and what's going to happen with Watson and Williams at corner. I think that's going to be a real, like how they use those guys in mandatory and in training camp, that's going to be really interesting.
And Kamal Haddon's coming in here as a ball hawk. He led Tennessee. He was drafted by the Chiefs, but is he ready on day one? No, I think it's going to take Kamal Haddon a little bit longer, but he's a ball hawk. He did lead in interceptions. He's just playing six games at Tennessee, and I know they really like him. 33rd team had Joshua Williams being a breakout, one of their four breakout stars. And if that happens, hey, the Chiefs see him every day. If Joshua Williams could be that guy, Jalen Watson, we're talking about a guy that has multiple picks. He has a pick six hell in his record. Remember a couple years ago.
Game two against the Chargers.
And he had two interceptions in the postseason. So Jalen Watson, and I believe was a real star at one of the parades when he had
Was he the one that had to get the IV because he got too drunk during the 23 parade? it was the 22 season. I think he got an IV drip because he got a little too drunk.
But maybe I was wrong. And I don't think they're going to miss Snead as bad as people think.
I don't either.
Snead could be at the end of the road.
Yeah, I don't think that they're going to miss him as much as people think. Just because, like, I mean, let's not forget, Jalen Watson and Joshua Williams came in 22 and solidified a position that was a big weakness for them the previous few years.
And with a couple of rings.
And now they've got a couple of rings in their first 2 years. And even though, like, they've both had some injury issues, Jalen Watson battled injuries the last couple of years. He played with a broken hand. What was it, torn rotator cuff this past season?
Yeah.
Like, he's played with a lot of injuries in his career, and he still played well. He did kind of have some hiccups in training camp and got pushed down the roster a little bit, but worked his way back up. Joshua Williams has also been kind of up and down, but still good, solid corner. I'll be interested to see what happens this year as far as one or both of those guys really kind of solidifying their spot out there. Because I'll say this, I do think the Chiefs would love to have those guys as their outside corners, and then Trent mix around here a little bit, maybe shadow a guy and, you know, play that slot in a good portion of the time because he's great at disguising. He's great at blitzing and he's got a good feel for where the ball's going. If Trent McDuffie can be that roamer, if he can be just a pure slot, yeah, that would be awesome.
Well, he's the leader. And as far as Joshua Williams, I mentioned the 33rd team was one of the breakout players.
Yeah.
They said no one expects Williams to be a one-for-one replacement for Snead, but there's a good chance Williams could be a quality cornerback right away. Look for Williams to get the first crack at starting in Snead's place.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a guy that you look at.
I kind of think Jalen will get it above Joshua, but I would not discount Joshua there either. I mean, look, they're huge. They're both huge corners. Jalen's 6'2", Joshua's 6'3". You know, they're big bodied, both around 190, 200 pounds, good arm length. That was, I mean, when we did that day three coverage back in 22, when they drafted Joshua Williams and Jalen Watson, though we weren't on when Watson was picked in the seventh, we were on when Joshua Williams was taken in the fourth. And we both talked about how that kind of frame, that kind of body type, if they could figure out a way to like get him acclimated to playing at that level, he'll give them a ton of value. And, you know, I like the fact that you also brought up Kamal Haddon, because Haddon has that similar body type too. And maybe he doesn't see prominent playing time this year. We'll see. I mean, there were actually some good things that came out of rookie minicamp about him. He might have the FAU
treatment this year. Maybe play a little bit more. But
right. I think he probably plays a little bit more. But, like, I wouldn't be shocked if they kind of let him sit back and learn a little bit because of the safeties that they have.
The Chiefs have gotten better at the pass rush. Matter of fact, it's their second and third best seasons the last 2 years. They went from 55 to 57, right? Second in the league. And record is 60. So it works hand in hand. To me, that secondary works hand in hand with the pass rush. Chiefs have shown the ability to get to the quarterback. That's only made the corners better themselves.
Yeah. And so that is going to be really interesting because the Chiefs, I wouldn't be shocked if the Chiefs played four safeties at some point. Like, instead of, like, I wouldn't be shocked if they had, like, a combination of, like, maybe they have Jaden Hicks play, like, the Mike in a dime situation, and then you've got your three corners, you got your two safeties playing deep in Reed and Cook, and then you probably have Shamari Connor playing in the slot, because we know Shamari Connor played a lot of slot when he was at Virginia Tech. He was a guy that was really good at blitzing when he was there. He was like one of their best blitzers, one of their best pass rushers, and one of their best guys at getting to the quarterback in general that year. And, I mean, we saw him in the run game. He was explosive there as far as getting hits there. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if he was playing the opposite slot corner there in those dime packages.
Of course, they lose that experience of Mike Edwards that played with Tampa. He's down with the Buffalo Bills. But right. I don't think I thought, okay, the Chiefs, there's enough journeyman safety out there. There still is. There's enough journeyman safeties out there, but they might not go that direction. I think they're like their in-house safeties.
Yeah, I think they're going to stick with their in-house guys because, look, the Chiefs have, and let's not forget, like, Nazi Johnson as
coming
well.
Coming back from that ACL.
Coming back from the ACL, and he was really impressing when he was in camp last year before he tore that ACL.
Playing the Super Bowl the year before.
Yeah, like, you know, and let's not also forget, like, that you had Nick Jones, the corner that they drafted in the seventh round last year. There's a lot of unknowns, and I know it's, like, crazy when we talk about, like, a seventh-round corner, but, I mean, the Chiefs have already kind of hit on a seventh-round corner with Jalen Watson, so they can find some value there. There's a lot of unanswered questions there, and I really think the defensive back situation is going to be – there's so many ways that can play out just because of the amount of safeties they have, just because of the amount of corners that they have. There's a lot of different things that situation can play out. I think the last question I think we'll be asking is about Lewis Rees-Zammit, the player they got, the Welsh rugby player they got.
They're talking him up.
It looks like he's going to make the team.
Well,
just because of kickoffs.
Anyway, the actual real roster, he's already the number one returner.
Right.
They have. And Andy Reid would say, hey, man, he runs upright. You know, we'll see what happens when you get hit. That's the other thing.
Yeah, he's going to have to lower them damn shoulders.
You got to lower the shoulders. Yeah. He's got the physicality. We know that. Like, he's got that. Now, he will make the team because he'll make the practice squad regardless.
Right.
Unless someone puts him on their active roster. I don't see him doing that because they can keep 17 guys because he's in the international program.
I kind of feel like I'll say this. I think he's going to get a good shot in the preseason to be the guy that's kicking off. If he shows an aptitude for that and is able to do a good job of kind of containing those returners and making sure they don't break past him, because he's probably going to be that last line of defense there on the kickoff coverage. If he can show an aptitude for that, he's going to make the team. He's going to be their designated kickoff guy. And I wouldn't put it past Andy Reid to find ways to get the ball to him in the offense.
Oh, he will. I'm just curious. Carson Wentz here. I think we kind of forget that he's here as well.
Yeah, I think it's a good. I think it's very plausible that most people have forgotten that Carson. I forgot Carson Wentz is on the roster until you just brought it up. I was thinking about that earlier. Who's the backup quarterback for the Chiefs again?
And the fact that he led the NFL in short yardage runs before they did the tush push in Philly.
Yeah, I mean he might be. They might actually bring back the quarterback sneak now with an actual quarterback. But yeah, I think Lewis Rezamit is. I think the way that they were talking this past week, talking about the kickoff situation and whatnot, it sounds like he's going to make the team. And that's pretty crazy.
It changes everything, man, this new kickoff rule. So
yeah,
it's the perfect spot for him. Everybody likes it. You know,
yeah.
Justin Reed's going to be there. They don't want to use Harrison to kick off and that stuff. So it's going to be, you know, tough.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. But I kind of feel like, and maybe they start off letting Justin Reed do it just because he's got some experience kicking in game.
Mm-hmm.
But
you also don't want to get him hurt.
You don't want to get him hurt. And so I kind of feel like it might be smarter to give Rezamit the opportunity. And if he shows out, I would not have thought this 2 months ago, but I think there's a real shot that Lewis Rezamit makes this roster, makes the 53 just because of the kickoff situation.
I want to be
the person that
I get that.
Tempers expectations.
It's like Denarik Prince last year. Let's not forget. He was the number one returner in camp.
He looked great, and then he fell down.
He fell down.
I 100%. And that's the reason why it's weird to me. I found it really weird the way they were talking about it. But we know how the Chiefs operate. The Chiefs are not very secretive about a lot of stuff, unless it's the draft. They're not very secretive about stuff. You know what the Chiefs are going to do based on their actions and based on how they talk about things in the vague way that they do. I do not think the Chiefs, if they felt like he was someone that they absolutely could not play, I don't think the Chiefs would put him in this situation to where they'd make us believe that he has a good chance of making the roster.
See how he does when he's hip. I'm not worried about that because he's a rugby player.
He's a rugby. He'll be all right.
Without pads. So okay.
The only thing I'm concerned about is him fumbling the football. But that's the only thing I'm concerned about because he runs
player.
Over.
I mean, it's asking someone to step into one of the elite sports.
Right. Know? Yeah, the only thing I'm worried about is him going out. But we also know how this sport works. If you're an incredible athlete and you're a quick learner, you can pick up the game of football very quickly. You just got to be real smart. You have to have an aptitude to imitate what you see on film and imitate what the coaches are telling you to do. And if you're an incredible athlete, you'll figure it out.
Yeah, he seems like that kind of guy, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, so we will be back here probably in a couple weeks to kind of recap the storylines coming out of Mandatory. Then we're going to get you ready for training camp. In late July, preview some of the stuff going on there.
Let you know how the rookies are doing.
Yep, let you know how the rookies are doing, and then we're going to start previewing the players to watch out for.
Let's go.
In the coming college football season this fall. We're already here in summer, man. It's already starting to get hotter. We're starting to get the sunny days all the time. Year three of the Character Concerns podcast. We're excited about this. This will be our second time in college football season coverage. So we appreciate you guys listening to us. Make sure you download, like, subscribe, give us 5 stars on every platform that you can. For Jay Binkley, I'm Christian Osero. We'll catch you guys next time.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.